Haskell, Armidale, Victoria, Australia, November 6, 1895. Elder Haskell. Today I received a letter from Elder Haskell containing a draft for £100.00, £100, a loan to Mrs. E. G. White. I thank you, my brother, for this favor. Will you please tell me the interest you desire on this? I will send you my note. I think money could not come in a more opportune time. We are trying to advance the work on the school grounds. We have felt almost afraid that the school building could not be erected this season, and we were reluctant to lose time and not get the buildings up at once. We will appropriate this draft to the school unless some more urgent work requires it. I will be responsible for it, and will again thank you for your kindness in sending it. We are now in the midst of the camp meeting at Armidale, Melbourne. We shall remain here over one more Sabbath and Sunday, then break up camp and transfer tents to Tasmania. We are to commence a camp meeting in Hobart about 10 days after this meeting closes. Providence has opened the way for us to hold tent meetings in this suburb. We have had the best of interest from the very commencement of the meeting. We have the best class of hearers. Many of the same ones come every meeting, and a goodly number attend all through the week who are not of our faith. We have not seen just such interest in any meeting we have previously attended. Ministers of the different churches attend and are deeply taken up with these meetings. Many have expressed that they are deeply interested in these meetings and in the light that is brought out from the Word. November 1st. We were greatly surprised and much grieved in receiving a telegram from Sydney that my nephew, Byron Belden, had suddenly died from hemorrhage of the lungs. We said goodbye to Byron and his wife at the station when we left Sydney to come to this place about 3 weeks ago. They expressed their interest in us and wished us a safe journey and the rich blessing of God in our camp meeting. Byron's face seemed to bear a heavenly light. The thought came to my mind, the Lord is blessing Byron Belden in his missionary work. He had been chosen as superintendent for 2 Sabbath schools, and he was willing to make any sacrifice that he might give to others the precious Bible truths which the Lord had given him. He had practiced self-denial all his life. He scarcely knew what self-indulgence meant. Himself and wife, Sarah, were ever ready to be a blessing to those who needed encouraging words, and to help with their limited means wherever they could. Both of these dear children were precious to me. I loved them as my own children. Byron was giving Bible readings, carrying copies of The Echo, the paper published at our office in Melbourne, and selling them. His whole soul was in his work, but he was cut down suddenly without warning. I shall never look upon his dear face again. The Lord lets his workmen be laid away to rest, but the work goes on. These dear children were obtaining a better knowledge of the work. He was soon to enter the ministry. He had been attending meetings in different places, speaking on the Sabbath and giving Bible studies. Everyone was pleased with his labor, but the dear saint is at rest. All he would take for the support of himself and wife was £1 per week. He said it was enough if they lived economically. After his rent was paid, he had but little left, but was perfectly satisfied, and said, "Aunt Ellen, we can do with less, and you can use at least £1 per week to help support some other one in the field. I shall now take the widow as a member of my family, as my own child. I have just been listening to a discourse given by Professor Prescott. It was a most powerful appeal to the people. Those not of our faith seemed deeply interested. They say there is no life in our churches, everything is so cold and dry. We are starving for the bread of life. The people are of the very best class of society, of all ages. Noble-looking men of white hair sit and listen as for their life. Some men who are superintendents of Sunday schools are eager to get the discourses as they see our reporters taking notes in shorthand. I do not want to lose one idea. All the words they say are precious. Ministers are attending and are likewise gathering up all they can to give to their congregations. One man seems deeply interested. He said he was using all his influence to get not only his family, but 15 or 20 more to come to the meetings. And when they come once, they want to come again. All say, never did we have the privilege of hearing the Bible made so plain and brought to that simplicity in explanation that we can but understand it.
This meeting in this suburb is being greatly blessed of the Lord. Friday and Sabbath, there was steady advancing in interest, and we know that Jesus is manifesting his presence and the power of his Holy Spirit to many hearts. We are working and praying and walking humbly with God. The truth is coming from the lips of his servants, flowing forth as a vital current from heaven. Thus it is, and will we have faith to believe and win many souls to Jesus Christ? There have been many souls deeply stirred during this meeting. 3 weeks this meeting has been in session, and the camp meeting proper will not close until next week, Tuesday or Wednesday. Then, if the same interest is manifested, the tent will remain on the same ground 2 weeks longer, and as many as choose may remain in their tents to attend the meetings. At the close of 2 weeks, Professor Prescott and my family, W.C. White and wife, and my two workers will go to Tasmania. Maggie Hare is reporting Professor Prescott's discourses and my talks for publication. Professor Prescott's sermons will never seem the same, I fear, as when given by the living preacher, for the words are spoken in the demonstration of the Spirit and with power, his face all aglow with the sunshine of heaven. The presence of the Lord is in our meetings day by day. The word has gone forth in the regions round about the encampment. I think I may safely say, I have never in my experience seen so large a number attending meetings who are so hungry for the truth. My heart is full of intercession to my Heavenly Father that the Holy Spirit, whose office work it is to take of the things of God and show them unto the truth seekers, may send these things home to the hearts of all. We will stand yoked up with Christ as laborers together with God. We can of ourselves do nothing. Christ is the sin bearer. He is the one who can forgive sins, and if he works to draw poor, perishing souls, it is the greatest honor we can have to draw with Christ, cooperating with the heavenly intelligences. We are seeking to make plain, to those who have not heard, the evidences of the truth. The word obeyed is life and hope and salvation to all. If ye love me, keep my commandments. John 14, verse 15. I feel so grateful for these words, for if it were not possible for us to obey the commandments of God, these words would not have been spoken. The Lord Jesus forgets the shame, the ignominy, the reproach, the false accusations that are soon to be heaped upon him. He knows every phase of what he is to endure from the hand of sinful men. Step by step, he came lower down in his life of humiliation. He was despised and rejected of men. He drank the bitter cup to its dregs, and yet he found the most gracious words to present to his disciples to comfort them in their hour of great disappointment, when all should forsake him and leave him alone. Yet not alone, for the Father was with him. I will pray the Father, and he will send you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you.
verses 16 to 18. What comfort and blessing were these words after the sore trial which had come upon them? Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me by faith. Because I live, ye shall live also. Verse 19. These precious words were spoken for our benefit. They come sounding down the line to our time, that we may be comforted and strengthened in hope and faith. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself unto him. Verse 21. How grateful I am for these words, and so grateful that we have, through Jesus Christ, granted unto us probationary time, that we can form characters after the similitude of Christ's character. For all this is promised to those who have the light on the commandments of God and keep them. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. Verse 23. Shall we not praise God for this assurance? Is it not of more value than silver and gold, riches and honor? How glad I am, my brother, that you have these promises in keeping the commandments of God. His word is truth. It endureth forever and ever. We honor God when we believe his word, when we believe that he means just what he says. It is appropriating this word to ourselves that we feed on the flesh and blood of the Son of God. These words are positive. If a man love me, he will keep my word. Verse 23. Then, through Christ Jesus giving us grace, which he has promised humanity, we can keep the law of God.
Praise the Lord! Praise his holy name! Is the language of my heart. Christ shall not have suffered and died for me in vain. I will honor my Redeemer by appreciating and improving every spiritual and temporal endowment entrusted to me in a way that shall best glorify his holy name. In making every improvement, in cultivating the talents he has given me, so that I shall work with tact and ingenuity and heavenly wisdom to keep my own soul in the love of God and communicate that love to all with whom I come in contact, and have travail of soul that I shall feel the heart yearning for those poor souls for whom Christ has paid such an infinite price. Here again we hear the words of him who speaks as never man spoke. He that loveth me not keepeth not my saying. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Verse 24. This is the sure testimony which all who live in the world are hearing. The disobedient are giving their testimony that they love not Jesus Christ and refuse his words, and choose to run the risk of binding up in bundles with the transgressors of the law of God. Those who love Jesus hear the living testimony that they are commandment keepers, loyal, and true to the God of heaven. Again and again I have asked as I stood before the congregation, whose side are you on? Is your influence with the great rebel standing under the banner of revolt, or are you standing under the blood-stained banner of Prince Emmanuel? It is time we were wholly on the side of Christ. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Verse 26. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Verse 27. We have the truth, precious, sacred, testifying truth.
Open, my dear brother, open the door of your heart wide unto Jesus. Let him come into the soul temple. Treat him as your honored guest, and he will fill your soul with his great love. He will give you to drink of the water of life, and will give you the eternal riches of the heavenly world. One soul saved in the kingdom of God is worth more than the whole world. God bless you and your family is my prayer.